Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, more cruise lines are raising prices of beverages and included gratuities, and the Mexican government wants you to feel safer in Cancun. We have details.
At 3:20, we make you a smarter traveler on a variety of topics. What are the best and worst days for flying around the upcoming holidays? And some tips for traveling with toddlers.
As we mentioned last week, the Mitzpah Hotel in Nevada was named the most popular haunted hotel in the country by the readers of USA Today. At 3:35, we are joined by John McCormick, general manager of the Mitzpah, who will share some of the stories that made them such a scary place.
Ed Perkins is the dean of travel advocates and a regular guest on the show. And today at 3:50, he will alert us all to the hidden hotel fees that we're we all love so much. Anyway, he'll tell us which ones to be on the lookout for, things like housekeeping fees, internet that isn't free or doesn't work fees, and, well, the list goes on.
If you came here looking for information about travel, you came to the right place. Welcome to the latest edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Back again, and you too.
Despite popular demand.
Yeah, there you go. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are we call ourselves the Travel Guys. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, and thanks for taking time out of your busy Sunday to spend a few minutes with us. Hopefully along the way we'll entertain and, more importantly, bring you information that perhaps will make you a smarter traveler, or certainly a more aware traveler anyway.
Or something like that.
Yeah, Mark, you know, we mentioned from time to time that you do mystery tours with your with your group, and once in a while we get to find out about them when they're no longer a mystery.
That's correct.
Yeah, so you just wrapped up one.
Just came home from a mystery tour that wrapped up on Friday of this week.
Was this the one where you load everybody in the bus and you go and park somewhere and you say, that's it, this is the mystery trip?
No. It's where people go to the airport, come to the airport and have no idea where they're going to go. They have some clues, and they've been told kind of how to pack and what to expect weather-wise, and then off we go, and we have a bunch of really fun things that we do. We went to Cincinnati and to Lexington.
They know when they get the ticket at the...
When they get to the airport, they know, because they have to know what plane to get on.
Got it, okay.
So in this case, though, they're taking two planes to get to Cincinnati because we don't have nonstops to Cincinnati from Sacramento. So, yes, we had a good time, and we have kind of a full agenda here today, but I promise next week when I join you, actually we'll be out on Route 66 next week. I join you, I think, from Albuquerque or Gallup or something like that. And
one of those places in the song.
Well, we'll talk about all of these places that I've been recently. We'll take a part of the show, and because Cincinnati is really a cool place. I have to tell you, I've not spent much time there. But having been there a couple times now in the last year and a half, that I would put Cincinnati on my list of places I would go back to.
Outstanding. And like Mark mentioned, next week we're going to go into detail. And like myself, haven't been to Cincinnati, you'll make you want to go. All right. As we always do at the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And bringing us the background music, of course, so that you get it. Huey Lewis and the News.
And the News. Kind of cute, I thought, the way that you came up with that, you know, way back when, back in 1,000 years ago when the Travel Guys were first born.
Thank you very much.
Speaking of the Travel Guys being first born, we should have mentioned sometime in the last several weeks that we have been asked to return for another year of the Travel Guys next year.
Return to where?
Return... Return to the radio station.
Oh, really? Geez.
Yes, they have.
Despite
all the calls and everything, they've decided to let us come back. And so we will be here on Sunday afternoons from 3 to 4 for another year, and actually another year and 3 months, since there are still some time left to go out on this calendar year.
I couldn't be happier.
You couldn't be happier?
No, that's great.
I wouldn't know what to do with a Sunday if I didn't have to prepare for a radio show and all of that stuff. So, you know, actually, this really is a lot of fun. If you have a regular job, which, you know, you still have a part-time regular job, but I still have a full-time regular job. Mm-hmm. And if you have a regular job and you're doing something like this for a hobby on the weekends, why, it tends to stretch one's time a little bit. But if it's something that you enjoy, we all do things that we enjoy. And playing on the radio is something that I've always enjoyed. You surely have enjoyed it, Mr. Romano. You made an entire career out of it.
I have. I have been doing it longer than a lot of people have been alive, and I have to say I do enjoy it.
Yeah, well, I remember we've talked about this before, about me, you know, in my younger years, listening to you on the radio, even though there's not that much difference in our ages. All right, anyway, enough of the memory lane stuff here. Travel news. Alaska Airlines has joined the airlines that have raised their checked bag fees from $25 to $30 for the first bag and from $30 to $40 for the second bag. Alaska is not going to do it until December. That pretty much takes care of all the legacy carriers. And what this does is it now means that if you are flying on Southwest Airlines and you're checking two bags, You were saving $50 before, but now you're saving $60. I'm going to suggest to you this gives Southwest Airlines room to raise their airfares $5 or $10, because the fees for bags have gone up at the other airlines. Southwest is still not going to charge you for baggage, but the cost of doing business at the other airlines has gone up. So I would expect Southwest to take advantage of that on a small scale.
Transparency, yes.
Transparency.
Tell us about it.
Well, Southwest really is the best airline in terms of being honest and upfront with people and not trying to con them by not trying to raise baggage fees by $5 and then talking about how it's going to be a better experience and we're all going to be happier because the baggage costs more. And which is kind of a screwy logic. Speaking of things costing more,
mm-hmm.
Cruise lines are more and more of them have decided to raise prices and fees. Carnival Cruise Lines has announced it will be increasing automatic gratuity for staff by 8% on December 1. Most passengers will now pay $13.99 per person per day for gratuities, while travelers in suites will pay $15.99 per person per day, a 15% increase over the existing rates. If you are a Royal Caribbean person, they are raising prices for their drink packages starting on January the 1st. They're basically going up from $63 to $70. That's a lot of money a day.
Yeah.
For beverages? Holy pashutsky.
Well, you know, I guess they have those packages where you buy
Norwegian. Norwegian is charging between $89 and $99 per person per day for their drink packages, which is an 11% increase. Holland America line.
That's a lot of drinking. But well, then again, you know, I've never done the math. I've never done the cruise. But those I've talked to, some are in on it, paying the fees, and others have not. And then afterwards, they talk about how that the beverages, particularly the alcoholic beverages, by the time they were done, that was the price of their ticket for the cruise.
Well, it's very humorous. You know, the cruise lines are not letting you bring, you can't bring your own booze on the cruise. And on some cruise lines, I understand, they're not crazy about you bringing your own sodas or things like that. So in essence, you get on the boat, you're there, the ship, you're on the ship for, they always explain to me, the boat is the thing they lower when the ship is sinking. You're on the ship for 7 days, 10 days, whatever it is, and you're going to have to drink all the water that you drink. Is going to come out of a bottle, and it's going to be priced at $3 or $4 a bottle. So this is how, this is kind of interesting because this is a huge add-on to the cost of a cruise, having to buy beverages on board. Holland America is raising their hotel service charges, which is in essence their gratuities, on board to $14.50 per person per day, which is a 7.4% increase. For those of you who haven't cruised before, cruise lines in recent years, for the convenience of travelers, mm-hmm. and whenever you hear that phrase, it's as we've said, it's never good. Whenever you hear for your convenience, always grab your wallet because that's what's happening next. They decided that they would charge the gratuities to your account. So you've given them a credit card and allow, and anything you charge along the way, along your cruise, is going to be added to that. So they just, the night before you get off, a couple nights before you get off, they put the gratuities on at a predetermined, and to be fair, they tell you what the predetermined amount is going to be. Most people then don't, they just leave it. It is important to note, though, however, that if you, the airline, the cruise line puts this this predetermined gratuity on your bill, mm-hmm. you can go to the front desk and say, look, the service was not what I thought it would be. I only want to leave half of this, or I only want to leave a quarter of this, or mm-hmm. I don't want to leave any of it. I don't believe that there was, the service was worthy of a gratuity on any level. And the other side is, if you were on the cruise ship and you got particularly excellent service, you could go to the front desk and say, I would like to increase the level of gratuity. Or you could go to specific cruise members on board, which is, would be the way I would suggest doing it, and say, you have made my experience better. Please let me reward you in this way. But mm-hmm. anyways, that's how it works now on board cruises. You don't give envelopes at the end of the cruise or go around and tip your waiter or things like that. You are tipping them automatically.
That's good information to know.
And but you can get out of it. It's something, it is truly for your convenience. Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to be that convenient, then don't be afraid to go up there to the front desk of the hotel and say, hey, I want to adjust this. Because really and truly, it is absolutely your right as a customer. You don't have to pay what the amount is. And again, you can pay a little more if you want to. Cancun, we mentioned. A new military police base has opened near Cancun. The Mexican government wants you to know it's safe to visit, so they have opened a 2,850-member military police base just outside of Cancun. Cancun has seen an increase in violent crimes this year, with homicides the first 8 months of the year up over 100% compared to 2017. It's important to notice, to note, however, that there has not been an increase in violence in tourist areas. And apparently the Mexican government wants to make sure that it stays that way. So they're going to make sure there's a much greater police presence around Mexico, around Cancun. Low-cost airlines have canceled several transatlantic routes. Norwegian Air and WOW Air, two cheapo airlines from Europe that started adding U.S. cities en masse, have started discontinuing service from some of those U.S. cities like St. Louis and Cleveland and Cincinnati. After one season, they've decided that maybe some of these places were not places that could support international traffic. That's interesting because Sacramento is vying for that type of European route, and those low fare carriers were probably the best shot at Sacramento getting something. So the fact that they're pulling back maybe makes it a little tougher for Sacramento. I would say hold out, guys, until you can support a real airline and a real flight, an Air France, a KLM, a British Airways, something like that, so that the people of Sacramento can have an actual airplane to fly on, as opposed to one of these cheap cut rate things where you have to, you know, you got to buy your water on board the airplane, for God's sake. Southwest Airlines made an emergency landing after a man harassed a passenger on board and some crew members. This happened a couple of days ago. It was on a flight from Los Angeles to Dallas. They stopped in Albuquerque. The reason I bring this up is because the airlines have now made it very clear, and it says right here in this press release, is that Southwest has every intention of making this man pay for this stop. So not only does he face up to a year in, he could face up to 20 years in federal prison for interfering with a flight crew and up to a year in jail for assault. He could be fined up to $350,000. And even if he gets out of all of that, the airline is going to charge him for the landing, which is going to cost him about $65,000. And I'm going to suggest to you, he's going to have some pretty spectacular personal liability insurance to get out of that. So, folks, if you're getting on an airplane, cut back on the alcohol and the everything else that you're doing before you get on the airplane. It'll save you a lot of money in the long run.
It's strange how people, what is it about being on an airplane that sometimes people just get weird?
Yeah, all right. Here's the last two stories of the travel news here. This is when you have to, this is the adult portion of the travel news, when you have to take the children out of the room.
Okay, what is it? Spoiler warning.
Spoiler warning, exactly. Weed became legal in across Canada on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. That would be marijuana. Cannabis smoking is legal all across Canada. The Vancouver airport, not wanting to be outdone by anyone, has set up an area where you can smoke before and after your flight already in Vancouver.
A smoking zone.
So if you've got just a little bit left with you and you were thinking, wow, you know, I hate to throw this away, why then, you know, there's a spot that you can, you know, imbibe before you get on the plane. And people will say, oh my God, people are getting on the plane wasted. Well, they have bars all over the airport. So I have news for you. People are already getting on the plane wasted. But anyway, I thought that was kind of cute. There's a place for you to get stoned outside the Vancouver airport. They've made it very clear they don't want you smoking inside the airports. So they've set up places for smoking all kinds of things outside of the airport. And a Delta flight attendant is facing firing after clips of his mile-high romp with a male porn star. This would be a male flight attendant with a male porn star. They were on an international route went into the restroom. They were gone for quite, let's see, it says here how long they were gone. But quite a long time. Apparently the male porn star was filming this, posted it online, much to the chagrin of the flight attendant who was involved in whatever it was they were doing.
One of those extra small size restrooms.
And they were in the, I'm looking here because it does say in the story how long they were, 8 minutes, 8 minutes they were inside this tiny space. So anyway, the Mile High Club there, now the flight attendant has been, he faces being fired after the video has emerged of him having sex inside an aircraft lavatory. So once again, folks, you know, just as a little bit of decorum that you have to use on board the airplanes, because otherwise you can get yourself in a whole lot of trouble. And that's your adult travel news for today.
And there you go. Most everything we talk about, including most everything.
Most everything.
Of the travel news is at TravelGuysRadio.com. All right. Coming up, Mark, we're going to do our best to make people a smarter traveler. And we're going to talk about the best and worst days to fly over the holidays. And I'm most interested in that. And then also some tips with traveling with those toddlers. That's next here on the Travel Guys. Speaking of riding the highway, Mark, you understand a little Route 66 in your near future.
Leaving on Tuesday, always good if you turn the microphone after a commercial break. Tuesday, we leave, fly to Oklahoma City. When I speak to you next Sunday, we will be out on the highway, so to speak. One of my favorite places to be.
All right, we are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And as we promised, Mark, tell us what you got in regards to the best time, if there is such a thing, to fly during the upcoming holidays.
This is kind of cool. There's a calendar. If you go to TravelGuysRadio.com, we have some really cool stuff sometimes on our website that we don't have time to talk about, and such is the case this week. There are some really good links to some really neat stuff. There are sometimes some things that are funny and cute and poignant, and in this case, important. There's a link to the best, an article from the folks at Smarter Traveler, and they tell us about the best and worst days to travel this Thanksgiving and Christmas. Now, Thanksgiving, it stays standard pretty much all the time because Thanksgiving is always on a Thursday. So in terms of what days are better days to travel for Thanksgiving, they tell you, you know, the closer you get to Thanksgiving, the worse it gets. If you can travel on Sunday before Thanksgiving, that is good. You don't want to travel Tuesday and Wednesday. Coming home, Sunday is the worst day to come home. If you can wait and come home on Monday and Tuesday of the following week, the fares are going to be a lot lower. But if you can travel on Thanksgiving Day, that's always when you're going to get your best fares. Remember that many airlines don't operate flights the second half of the day. So there's a calendar here that if you go to TravelGuysRadio.com, you can click on this and it'll show you, if you haven't bought your holiday tickets yet, first of all, shame on you. And second of all, you best buy them soon because the prices are not cheap and they're not going to get any better. So if you're on one of those websites that's going to tell you when your ticket gets cheaper, I have real bad news for you. You are only about 10 to 12 weeks away from the 10 weeks away from the holidays now, 8 weeks. It's time to buy the ticket.
Right.
So you can look on here and they will tell you. Now, Christmas is a little different from Thanksgiving because Christmas moves every year. This year, Christmas is on a Tuesday, which means that Christmas Eve is on a Monday. So many people are going to take 4-day weekends. Christmas Eve will be a good day to travel because of the pattern of what day of the week Christmas is on. And of course, Christmas Day will be a good day to travel, but the day after Christmas will be the worst day to travel because people will say, well, it's the middle of the week. I don't want to stay all the way to the weekend. So they're going to hit the road. And the 26th is going to be an awful day to travel. The 27th and 28th would be better. But then once again, you get to the weekend and it's going to be heavy. This chart lays out for you the best and worst days for holiday travel. I did took some time, put up some city pairs, some mythical city pairs, and spent about an hour with this and found out that they are pretty much true. It pretty much holds the calendar they're showing you in terms of airfares and stuff like that. Some days the airfares are a little better. So if you haven't bought your ticket yet, this is a great tool for figuring out best and worst days to travel. The Thanksgiving one will be good any year. The Christmas one, next year Christmas will be on a Wednesday, which will really impact the travel days, because when Christmas is in the middle of the week, people make a lot of different decisions about, you know, this year it's on a Tuesday, so, and Christmas Eve is Monday, it's a no-brainer for most people. When it gets to Wednesday, people's whole thought process changes. We also mentioned, Thomas, that we were going to talk about tips for traveling with a toddler.
Yes, you have a minute and 30 seconds.
Well, and that's good because I don't have a whole lot to talk about here. I'm going to drive you to travelguysradio.com so you can see this from Travel Pulse. One of the really good tips is forget when you've got a toddler. Learn to go with the flow. Scheduled things on vacations are not going to happen anymore. You're going to go to the zoo and you planned on 2 hours and the little one is going to love it and you're going to be there for 3.5. Or you're going to plan 2 hours and after 30 minutes the little one is ready to go. So beware of the fact that it's not going to be quite the same as it was before. And create a bag of knickknacks and fun things that kids can do when you're traveling. There's 25 tips here. Some of them are not your ordinary sort of travel tips, so I would suggest that you take a look at them. If you travel with little ones, there are some things here that are not necessarily geared to the kids, but are more geared to the parents at travelguysradio.com. Hopefully it'll make you, if you're traveling with little ones, a little smarter traveler.
Okie doke. Coming up after the break, check out what's going on in the world around us. We're going to go off to the Mitzpah Hotel. You heard us talk about it here on the air. We talked a lot about going and voting in USA Today as the most haunted hotel in the country. Well, we're gonna see how that all turned out. That's coming up next, right here on the Travel Guys. Hello there, my friends. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, with you. Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And if you've been listening on any regular basis, we've been talking about the Mitzpah Hotel on and off over the last several weeks, and for good reason. Mark, bring our listeners up to date and introduce our guest, if you would.
Well, we've been imploring our listeners to chip in and go to the USA Today website and vote for the Mitzpah as the best haunted hotel in the United States. And we have no way of knowing how many Travel Guys listeners did that, but we do know that the Mitzpah came out on top in the voting. John McCormick, who is the general manager of the hotel and is a good friend at this point, John is joining us on the phone. Welcome to the Travel Guys, John.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mark. Tom, thank you as well.
Congratulations, my friend, on this honor. I mean, how a small, when you look at the other places that are on the list here, the top 10 list, many of them are in major cities or are, dare I say, much more known places than Tonopah, Nevada. So getting this award really is, I think, a feather in your cap.
Absolutely. We're very excited about it. And, you know, we're one of our guests as well as friends, family, other businesses here in town, the locals who really came out for us, and we're so excited. And you're absolutely right. We're up against several prestigious hotels across the country, and you know the little engine that could came out on top, and we're very excited about it.
Yeah, I'm excited for you. Heck, I'm almost enough excited to be part of the hotel myself. I mean, the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, the La Fonda on the Plaza in Santa Fe. There were a couple of hotels in New Orleans that made the top 10. So this is not a list of you know, little unheard of hotels that nobody has ever seen or been to. Tonopah, we should tell our listeners who are not familiar with Nevada geography, is roughly about halfway between Reno and Las Vegas. It's a town that was very well known for a silver strike a number of years ago. The Mitzpah, when it was built, was the tallest building in the state of Nevada for 25 years. It closed in 2000. It reopened in 2011. Fred and Nancy Klein are the current owners. And John, before you tell us a little bit about the Mitzpah, I understand that you and Fred and Nancy are working on another hotel there in town.
That's right. Directly across the street from us is the Belvada Hotel, another hotel that's been closed for about 20 years, and the Kleins have been working on it for over a year now, getting it all put together, and we're so excited. We're going to have 40 rooms over there, rooms and suites. We'll have 40 rooms and just some really neat things. It used to be the old Nevada State Bank building. And through the years, it's been many different things. Again, it was a bank with offices. It turned into apartments at one time, and the Kleins bought it from the town recently, and again started to renovate the place. And we should be open in spring, mid to late spring of 2019.
John, I've got to ask you, you've got this new hotel. Has it dawned on, and it sounds like the building has a history, has it dawned on folks, I'm sure it has, that that building must be haunted also?
Well, you know, we're exploring some of those things. There seems to be some stories out of the basement. It used to be an old speakeasy type of bar back in the day. So we're going to keep that under wraps for right now. There are some stories to come.
John, let me jump in real quick and have you tell us a haunted story. Tell us about some of your not so visible and easy to spot guests that may be there at the hotel.
Oh, sure. We've got a handful of stories that have come up through the years. Our most famous is the Lady in Red. And the Lady in Red, and this is back in the very early days of the hotel. We opened up in 1908, and a few years after that, there were a lot of miners and business people who were here in town doing business with the mining operations. Well, this young lady apparently had a side job as, let's say, a lady of the evening. She also had a boyfriend. They were staying here in the hotel. Well, the boyfriend had to leave town on business, but unfortunately missed his train, or unfortunately for her, missed his train. She came back. He came back to find that she was plying her trade in one of the hotel rooms here.
Well put. Goodness. Well put. Yeah.
Stabbed her and murdered her on the fifth floor of the hotel. And we have a suite that is designated, for her in honor of the Lady in Red.
Oh yeah, I'm looking at this on your website, the Lady in Red Suite, and it even indicates, you know, it's all decked out in red, elegance, and quite spectacular. And you even mention here that you may even get a visit from the lady herself. That's creeping me out.
That's right. We've had several instances, and here at our hotel front desk, we have a book where guests who have experienced different things will write little notes, that sort of thing. We have several that have left pictures as well. We have pictures of apparitions, and one that was fairly clear, looking like a woman up outside of her suite. So yes, we have very interesting things, and she may leave. We've had several reports of guests who say that she has left a pearl for them. Again, which is kind of her little calling card these days.
Tom, I have to tell you that I think I've related this on the show before, that a couple of Sports Leisure travelers on a ghost town trip with us in the Tonopah lobby were taking pictures, and unbeknownst to them, they were taking pictures with an actual camera. And when they got home and they looked at the pictures that they had taken, there were orbs in the background of where our people were standing, and as though there were ghosts present in the spirits present in the room at the time. So it's not just Halloween night or, you know, things of that sort, that the spirits are around the Mitzpah all the time.
Absolutely. We also have, and I'll tell you a quick story, of the angry miners, or so they say. There's actually an old mine, as the story goes, that runs from the mountain to the east, up and back to the mountain on the west. and there's a mine shaft that runs underneath the sidewalk to the edge of the Mizpah. And down in our basement, we actually still have the old windlass with the bucket that goes down into the mine. Obviously, it's all capped off now. It's, mm-hmm. it's no longer an active mine. But again, as the story goes, back in the day, the bank building, the Belvada, that was a bank building at the time, used to store the miners' payrolls in the basement of the Mizpah. As the story goes, basically three miners tunneled in from the mine shaft out on the street up into the vault area where the payroll was kept. Three miners stole the payroll, and one of the miners murdered the other two in the mine shaft down below. And to this day, we still have reports where, mostly employees that, they're down there and they'll feel somebody tapping them on the shoulder. There's no one there. Or women have reported like a puff of a breath on the back of their necks, that sort of thing. And we even have some really cool pictures of what appears to be miners throughout the building that appear in mirrors. And one in particular in our Jack Dempsey room. Really cool stories here at the Mizpah.
The destination is Tonopah, Nevada. The specific destination is the Mizpah Hotel, which the readers of USA Today have declared the most haunted hotel in America. And by golly, I can vouch for that. Our guest has been John McCormick, the general manager of the hotel. John, we are just tremendously happy for you guys. And congratulations on the new build with the hotel there. And you guys are going to put Tonopah on the map.
Well, thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it. And we're looking forward to seeing everybody down here in Tonopah.
Thanks, John. And remember, folks, go to travelguysradio.com. Links to the hotel and lots of other cool stuff there on our website. All right, coming up next, one of the kings of making you a smarter traveler. I think I refer to him as the well of wealth. In regards to being a smarter traveler, that's Ed Perkins. He joins us next. We're going to talk about those annoying fees that it seems like hotels and resorts want to stick you with every time you turn around. That's next on The Travel Guys. Well, for heaven's sakes, look what you stumbled across on your radio, or maybe you were there just waiting for us. We are Mark Hoffman and Sam Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, as always brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. You can follow along with the stuff we talk about at travelguysradio.com. And, our mission is to make you a smarter traveler, and we have help, don't we, Mark?
We do. We do. We have some folks who regularly join us on the program who have been experts in travel for a long time. One of them is with us here today, Ed Perkins. Welcome back, Ed.
Always nice to be with you guys.
Hey, Ed is forever opining on a variety of travel subjects and sharing his many years of expertise. And I've come across one of Ed's articles here on smartertravel.com. We're always talking about on this program about how much we detest fees. Ed has written about seven deceptive hidden hotel fees to avoid, and some of them indeed are kind of hidden that you need to keep an eye out for. So, Ed, why don't I give you the floor, and Tom or I will jump in when we hear something that excites us.
Okay, sounds like a deal. The number one fee, of course, that's really it's a scam more than anything else, is the so-called resort fee that started out in a few places like Hawaii and Vegas and have now extended not only to other resort areas but also to downtown hotels. And that's basically splitting the price of the room, and instead of saying my room is $100, saying my room is $70, but there's a fee of $30, and you have to pay it. And of course they give you a list of what it's supposed to cover. But if you have to pay it, it doesn't matter. Beyond that, other creeping fees, some hotels are now adding a mandatory housekeeping fee that they don't include in when you're booking the hotel. You find out about it when you get there. And, of course, the other thing they're trying to do is get you to support the housekeepers with tips, so they can put those housekeepers in a lower wage category as among tip-supported employees, just basically cut their wages.
Well, and that's kind of a challenge. You know, I don't know about you, Ed, but I'm a guy who has always believed that the housekeepers are some of the hardest working and lowest paid people in the whole chain. So when I get to a hotel room and everything's working properly and everything is clean, I am prone to leave a $2 or $3 gratuity on the bed for the housekeeper every morning. So if you're not careful and you're like me and you traditionally tip the housekeeper on your own, you don't pay attention, you can end up not only being generous on your own part, but as Ed is saying, supporting the wage scale of the housekeeping staff in the hotel by tipping twice.
That's right. Another hotel fee that's coming in more and more is an extra fee for early check-in. Time was, if you got to hotel before their nominal check-in time, which is usually something like 2 or 3 in the afternoon, but if they had a room empty and clean, they'd give it to you. Now some of them are saying, oh yeah, you can either pay us or sit around in the lobby until our time comes up. And that's a real annoyance, and it's inexcusable. So let's move ahead to what's becoming the number one contentious fee these days, and that's Wi-Fi. If you read on the polls that come out all the time, in-room free Wi-Fi is becoming sort of the line in the sand for a lot of travelers. They absolutely insist on it. And what's happened lately is that two or three of the really big hotel chains have decided that, well, we will have Wi-Fi in the room, but in order to get it free, you have to book through our hotel chain website. If you go through somebody like Booking.com or Expedia, you don't get the free Wi-Fi. So this is a case, again, where they're trying to squeeze an extra few bucks out of you, either by making you pay for Wi-Fi or by saving the commission they would otherwise have to pay to an online travel agency.
Well, and also with the Wi-Fi, now it's like, well, would you like our crummy free Wi-Fi or... For only $12.95, you can upgrade to super fast deluxe Wi-Fi and blow everybody out of the water, or you can sit there and wait for 2 hours for your movie to download. So another sort of hidden fee is getting you into the free Wi-Fi and then saying, well, you know, this is free Wi-Fi, but it really isn't worth anything, so you'll naturally want to pay us for something that's worthwhile.
Well, that's happening too, and the people who that hurts most are the people who like to download movies or play games or something that requires a really high bandwidth. If all you're doing is checking your email, you can probably make do with even the standard.
We're talking with our buddy Ed Perkins. We're talking about hidden hotel fees to be aware of and avoid. You know, we talk about the resort fees all the time, but we're talking about some of the hidden fees, housekeeping and Wi-Fi. Ed, what about cancellation fees? In the last year or two now, we've seen most hotels used to allow you to cancel up until 3, 4, 5, 6 o'clock on the day that you arrived. Once in a while, you'd get one that wanted a 24-hour notice, but now it's pretty standard practice, even with the roadside freeway off-ramp hotel, that if you don't cancel 2 or 3 days in advance, they're going to nail you.
They're going to nail you for the first night. That's right. And that's another change. I've even seen some lately that are supposedly free cancellation that mean you have to cancel with no later than a week in advance. So here again, they talk about it being a flexible price, but to most people, flexible means that you can cancel it almost any time, but not so much anymore. You have to watch that fine print very carefully.
Well, and you really have to be careful. We've talked about the Wi-Fi situation here, but booking on these third-party websites is really, some folks think they can save a few dollars there. I'm going to suggest to you that, particularly with hotels, in most cases you can get the same price by going to the chain's website and probably pick up some benefits there. Ed, is there anything, is there any hope? We try to make folks smarter travelers on this program. Is there any relief for people of the things that we're talking about here? Is there anything that travelers can do to avoid some of these things?
Not really avoid them, other than not patronize the hotels that assess them. You have to, first of all, you have to be careful to check to see which ones might apply. And other than that, if you don't like it, try somewhere else. There is some possibility of governmental relief on the resort fee topic, but it's likely to come from a group of state attorney generals rather than through the Federal Trade Commission, which typically takes 2 or 3 years to decide something is deceptive that you normal person would say within 20 minutes. So we're not looking much to the FTC for help there, but there is some indication that some big states attorney general folks are going to go after this as deceptive advertising.
Ed, Mark has mentioned this on a couple of occasions in regards to resort fees. If you're a member, a rewards member of a particular hotel, sometimes you can get them to waive those fees. What has been your experience?
Very seldom. And the reason is that it's really just a mechanism for falsifying the rate for the hotel. It's not about the services that the fees supposedly cover. And I've seen a few cases where not necessarily for every member, but if you're at a very high tier level of a frequent stay program, they may waive the fees. But that's just in a way of giving you a discount.
We are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, and if you will join us next week here on the Travel Guys.
Next week?
Next week, You'll hear the second half of that interview with Ed Perkins.
He talked about alternative airports. You know, like some people know, if you're flying to Los Angeles and you're not connecting to anywhere and you're thinking, well, LAX, no. You want to go to Burbank or to Long Beach because the whole process is a lot simpler. And if you're going out to the east end of the valley, then you'd want to go to Ontario. So we know these things because we're in California, but there are things if you live in, if you're going to other parts of the country, you will want to know. Okay, a couple of things here at the end. We want to tell folks, Tom, that tickets for Hamilton, the show is coming back to San Francisco. It's going to be there for an extended period of time, probably most of 2019. Who knows, maybe even beyond that. So if you haven't had a chance to see, you're going to get a chance to go. But tickets from the February 12th opening until the first part of September go on sale the 22nd of October online at 10 a.m. I just got this, so there's no link at Travel Guys Radio. It's just put Hamilton tickets, San Francisco, and you'll get it. But anyway, the tickets go on sale Tuesday. Also, just a quick word. The airlines are really cracking down on something called skip lagging. It's also known as hidden city ticketing. It's where you buy a ticket to one place mm-hmm. and get off the plane in another. Because an example that I use often is you're flying to Chicago on United or American, you buy mm-hmm. a ticket to Milwaukee, because oftentimes the ticket to Milwaukee is cheaper than the nonstop to Chicago. I know that makes no sense for you to fly further and have it to be cheaper, but that's the case. So many people will buy that ticket to the extended destination and only have carry-on bags and get off the plane in the first destination and not use the rest of the ticket. So you'd think, well, what's the problem with that? You bought the ticket. You should be able to do whatever you want. The airlines consider that to be a breach of contract. They don't like you to do that. It causes problems for them, you beating the system. So for a long time, the airlines have kind of turned the other cheek on that. United in particular, it has been reported the last few weeks, is cracking down. If you are one of these road warriors who uses skip lagging or hidden city ticketing, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you're one of these people who do it, you've probably been doing it for a long time. Be careful, because the airlines are wising up and they're coming after people who have done that. So there you go.
Well, folks, have yourself a wonderful travel week. We are the Travel Guys. We'll be back next Sunday at 3 o'clock. Visit TravelGuysRadio.com.
Mark? Remember to dance like nobody is watching.